There are billboards on bus shelters in Auckland suggesting there's a better flu vaccine to be had for this winter and to ask our doctor or nurse about that, with the inference that you and I may not be receiving a strong enough one. We'll ask our first guest this morning about that, but mostly we want to discuss bird flu with him. Which might it be, the next pandemic, bird flu, or the normal flu we expect every winter, but writ larger? An international survey of senior disease experts reveals that 57% of them think a strain of flu virus will be the cause of the next global outbreak of deadly infectious illness. Some of them still think it could be COVID mutating again, actually. New Zealand's Dr. Richard Webby is a prominent infectious diseases researcher at St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. He developed a vaccine for the 1997 Hong Kong avian flu outbreak, and he's the director of the WHO's Collaborating Centre for Influenza Studies. Dr. Richard Webby, nice to talk to you again.
Hey, Jim. It's good to be back as well.
What would be your educated guess regarding the next pandemic?
You know, influenza is always at that top of the list. Maybe we don't need to know exactly what the next agent's going to be, but you know, preparing for one may very well give us a leg up and preparing for the other.
Speaking of the normal flu, there's more than one vaccine being mentioned around the world. Does it really matter? Are the vaccines we're getting as updated as they're likely to be?
Yeah, so we think about what's actually in the vaccine in terms of the active ingredient, if you like. That's the same. There is a little bit of subtleties in how some of these vaccines are produced. And you know, different vaccines are available in different markets around the world. Some of them are grown in chicken eggs. Some of them are grown in cultured cells. There are some vaccines available a little bit more specifically targeted towards the elderly. They have a little bit more of the antigen, which is the active ingredient of the vaccine, if you like. They have a little bit more of that in there. So in general, they all target the same viruses, depending on what your age and risk groups are. Sometimes there are some that are a little bit better than others. But now, in general, well, clearly something is better than nothing. And you know, to be honest, the difference between the different vaccines is probably fairly minimal.
So, thank you for that. So, we have the H5N1 strain of influenza causing millions of cases in avian flu across the globe. Tens of millions of poultry birds have died and more millions of wild birds. And now it's in cattle where you are. So, the obvious question, Richard, how worried do we need to be about this? It's never been in cows before, has it?
No, it's not. It's almost like the Crusaders losing five in a row. Had you asked me 6 weeks ago what the chance of finding this virus in cows, I would have said none. So it's a completely new event for us. You know, we think we know this virus, and then sort of something happens next week that teaches us that we didn't really know anything about it. So it still would rather be inside a bird replicating than anywhere else. But anytime it does get into a mammal, that at least theoretically gives that virus a little bit more opportunity to change and perhaps be a little bit more mammal-like, a little bit more able to infect mammals, including humans. So from that perspective, anytime we see it in a mammal, it's of concern. But you know, we're now going to this a little bit blind, to be honest with you. We don't know what is likely going to happen here. We don't know what the virus is going to do in terms of changing. So it's an absolutely worrying event, but come back and ask me that in a few more months, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of information about how worried we should have been right now.
Yeah, would rather be in a bird. Well, that's comforting, but perhaps as with COVID, the huge concern is transmission jump, but presumably, Richard, over the centuries, we've had similar emergencies, far less publicised, where there was no transmission jump.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fine. So to be perfectly honest with you, there is a real possibility that this is a virus that could never be a successful human pathogen. I don't necessarily buy into that myself. I think this is a virus that, again, it's very much a bird virus, likes to be in birds, but given the right opportunities, then it could make that transition. But over, the course of history, there's been many, many viruses just like this one that have spread widely throughout birds and have never made their way to humans either. The risk is probably pretty low, but the consequences of that risk actually coming true are pretty scary.
Yeah, because now it likes to be in cows. And
That's right.
how worried does our own dairy industry need to be? Because we're told we're not on a migratory path for wildfowl, but birds do arrive here with low-grade avian influenza, I was reading, and H5N1s now in seals, as well as birds in the sub-Antarctic islands and on the mainland of Antarctica. So what does that bode for us here with cows?
So yeah, I think if I was a cow in New Zealand, I'd to be honest, I'd be feeling pretty safe from this virus. If I was a chicken, maybe I'd be feeling a little less safe. But sort of what I mean by that is this episode in cows, this is the first time we've even seen it over the 25 odd years that we've been tracing the sort of the great 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 granddaddies and grandmothers of this virus. Started in Southeast Asia back in, the late 1990s. We haven't seen it in cows before. So even though this virus has been there for that long, its transition to cows has been pretty rare. So put yourself in the New Zealand situation. If you're a cow in New Zealand, it's not just the fact that this virus doesn't seem to get into cows very much, but you don't even have the virus there yet. So it's a pretty safe place to be. You're dead right. I think New Zealand is really unique in terms of avian influenza. You don't have the sort of migrating ducks bringing in the real nasty viruses into the country. So from that perspective, it's safe. It doesn't mean the virus is never going to get there. As you say, there are some birds that certainly migrate long, long distances in New Zealand, and the virus is now spreading, into parts of Antarctica as well. So maybe it'll move back up that way. So, just because New Zealand doesn't have it yet, I don't think, I wouldn't say that's going to be a true statement forever, but the chance of it, one, getting into New Zealand, and then two, getting into a New Zealand cow, I think that, the chances are pretty slim.
You have the virus in dairy cows in 9 states and in cats, I was reading on those farms. So it is serious where you are, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And this virus is clearly that's much further spread than the official report. So, there's a lot of data that supports that. So it is pretty widespread. It is still growing. So the number of infected herds is growing by the day. Whether they're reported or unreported, there is that transmission from cows. There's a lot of virus in the milk of some of these cows, and we think that's how it's getting into the likes of the cats as well. They're coming along and, either having a feed of some spilt milk and getting infected that way. So no, for I think particularly for the dairy industry in the US right now, it's a huge concern. And for public health as well, it's a little bit of an unknown, exactly what the risk of this virus being in cows is for humans. But there's a lot of concern right now about what's going to happen in the coming weeks.
Is it correct that you would be looking for signs of infections in pigs because that would bring the virus closer to humans?
Yeah, so the poor pig is one that it's a host of flu. I mean, they have their own flus. A lot of them are actually viruses that we humans have given them, and they've managed to be maintained. But when we look at sort of what we do know about the different hosts, we do know that when these avian viruses, if they get into pigs, then growth in the pig can actually make those viruses more infectious for humans. So, yeah, that's why we absolutely don't want this virus in that host.
We know it's high mortality if it spreads to people, but as you say, would it spread between people? What biological pressures cause that to happen? Can you tell us?
You mean in terms of the infection of humans?
Well, in terms of mutation, which makes the virus happier, to spread between humans, between people.
So, basically there's three or four different categories of genetic changes that we know this virus has to make to switch from being a bird virus to being a human virus. And then there's a huge amount of effort sequencing some of these viruses and really looking put the old magnifying glass out to see if we can see those changes occurring.
And it's a case really of you won't know till you know, really.
That, unfortunately, that's probably true. You know, we'd like to think we're a little smarter than that, but maybe we're not. If all of a sudden, you know, the virologic stars align and what's a bird virus in a cow one day suddenly gets all of the mutations it needs to be a human virus, then yeah, the chances of us picking that up in advance are pretty slim. You know, we're going to find that when we start to see accumulation of human cases.
Dr. Richard Webby is with us. Look, the last question. I know it's too early to say the sky is falling with the bird flu, but we have now had the first instance of mammal to human transmission. Is it only a matter of time now in our crowded world with humans cheek by jowl with animals and poultry until disaster strikes? And will we look back and say we should have done more? Or is there nothing, apart from what you've been describing, is there nothing we can do more right now?
Yeah, and I that may not be this virus, but something is absolutely going to do that. It's going to jump from an animal into humans, and you know we're going to be COVID pandemic all over again, or could be COVID pandemic sort of supercharged or as well. So no, there's clearly not enough resources going into this preparedness for pandemics, and that's not a New Zealand centric issue. It's not a US centric issue. It's a global issue. You know, it's almost like we're not willing to sort of put those resources into the insurance we really need.
It's also a bit like we've got COVID fatigue and everyone wants it in the rearview mirror, and you know, we don't really want to think too much about it generally. I don't mean from you scientists, but I mean the population generally.
We're a little bit different than the general population. We think about these things a lot, but no, you did right. Right, this is a bad time for this to be happening. You know, it's those scientists again. They're going to worry us about a virus that's going to, you know, come and kill us all tomorrow. And yeah, you're dead right. People don't want to hear about this. They don't want to hear about being vaccinated against a new virus again. So, yeah, no, timing is not good for sure.
Good to talk with you as always, and thank you for giving us your time. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Jim.